You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another week. Welcome into another episode. It's the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Monday, July 22nd, 2019. We are on the eve of rookies reporting at the training camp. The veterans report on the 26th, but the rookies will be in on the 23rd. First actual practice is the 27th. So officially, Raider Nation, we have made it. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, that was officially the last weekend we as the fan base will have without a NFL game of sort until February 2020. Think about that. The last weekend that just passed by, last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, that is the last Saturday and Sunday that we will have without an NFL game of some sort. We'll have preseason games, we'll have regular season games, we'll have playoff games, and we'll have a Super Bowl all the way up until February 2020. So I feel pretty good about myself, feel pretty good about how we got here during the offseason. Give yourself a round of applause because, like I said at the very top, we have officially made it. Feel real good about that. Coming up on today's show, I got calls straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's going to come up in segment number three. 707-654-4693 is the number, so that'll be everything. All your calls, all your thoughts, all of that will be in segment number three. Segment number two, I had Rob Demoski from ESPN.com on my show on Friday on ESPN Central Texas. He was talking all things Packers, so I'm going to replay that interview in segment number two. And with that, that's going to come to a close, the NFC North, as far as the camp previews go. So we've knocked out the NFC North. We've knocked out the AFC West. That's all done. Now it's going to be up to you to decide what division we attack next. So you definitely hit me up and let me know, 707-654-4693. Again, finish the AFC West. That was the first one we knocked off. Then the NFC North, we attack second because, well, that's who the Raiders are playing this year. So who do you want to hear me preview this next time around? What division do you want me to focus on next? AFC West is done. NFC North will be done after you hear from Rob Demoski in segment number two today. Here in segment number one, kind of want to give you the latest on that Locked On NFL podcast show that I was supposed to do with Travis Wingfield, host of Locked On Dolphins, and it's not really supposed to do, it's I did do. I did the show with him over the weekend. We recorded it on Saturday, and I'll tell you straight up, Raider Nation, we had no idea what we were doing. I mean, we got on the phone with each other and said, hey, what do you think about this, or what do you think about that? What exactly are we supposed to do? And he said, I'm not too sure, but if it's going to be Locked On NFL, let's just talk all things NFL. And so we just had at it, man. On Saturday afternoon, we just did about a 40-minute show. I don't know how much of that show is going to get aired because it is longer than it's supposed to be. But after it was done, I emailed it over to David Locke. I emailed it over to Travis and a couple other cats. And it's supposed to air sometime today. So depending on what time you're listening to this podcast, it may already be up. So I guess because we just went ahead and took the initiative, it was funny when I sent the email to David Locke and he responded and said, what is this? Is this a demo? Is this a show? What is this going on? How do you know what day you're doing? We had no idea. We just knew that we were supposed to be teaming up. Myself and Travis Wingfield from Locked On Dolphins, we were supposed to be teaming up. So we said, hey, let's knock it out. So we just went and knocked it out on Saturday. So then I guess he was going to put out a schedule of what day each pairing was supposed to go. So since we already finished ours, he said, well, do you mind it being put out on Monday? And we're like, hell no. That's all good. We'll lead off. We'll get our Ricky Henderson off. We'll be the leadoff batter. So, yeah, I don't know. Just go ahead and take a look at Locked On NFL, the podcast. Myself and Travis Wingfield from Locked On Dolphins, we did a show on Saturday, and it should be dropping sometime today. Depending on what time you're listening to this podcast right now, it may already be up. But hopefully you enjoy that and give it a listen because it was some really good stuff. We talk about that Tyreek Hill situation that was going on in Kansas City. Friday, the news dropped that he got no suspension. That was ridiculous, but we talked about that in segment number one. Segment number two, we talked about the running back position in general in the NFL and how it's really being devalued as of late. And then in segment number three, we talked about all the brand new head coaches in the league. There's eight of them this year. We talked about which one, we broke them down coach by coach, which ones will be successful, which ones we don't think will be successful. And it was pretty cool, man, to do that segment and realize that the Raiders did not have a new head coach. That's something I even said, and it's like, man, it's just great to know that I'm talking about new head coaches and the Raiders isn't one of them, because as we all know, the Raiders are very accustomed to changing head coaches quite a bit. So it was good to know that the Raiders weren't part of that eight-man group that was brand new head coaches, but the Dolphins, Travis's team that he covers, they do have a new head coach, Brian Flores. So we actually led off with him in segment number three. So I think it's a really good show, and I think you should check it out. It's on Locked On NFL, the podcast network. Matt Williamson usually does the show, but we were filling in for him because he was on vacation, or he's on vacation this week. So with that being said about the Tyreek Hill situation, on ESPN Central Texas on Friday, I was hosting the show, and that's when the news came down. And so I quick got on the phone real quick and sent a text message to Matt Verderam from Fansided, NFL reporter, covers the Chiefs. He's been on this show before just talking Kansas City Chiefs in general. I shot him a text and said, hey man, can you hop on the show just to talk about this situation? And he was cool, man. He said, yeah, no problem, what time you want me on? So 12:30, boom, he popped on. So I just want to play the audio from him because he's the guy that covers the Chiefs. A lot of people that listen to this podcast say, oh, that guy, he's a big Chiefs fan, whatever, it doesn't matter, I don't really care. He gives a lot of good information. I asked him about the Tyreek Hill situation. I want to play the audio from you for you right now so you can hear what he had to say. And I just started it off talking about how surprised and getting his thoughts on what he was feeling when he heard that Tyreek Hill got a zero game suspension for everything that had gone on. Here it is.
I was surprised. I actually got tipped off at about 1:30 in the morning Eastern time that was likely going to be the case. So frankly, I didn't report it because I wasn't 100% sure that, you know, that was going to end up being the way it was, simply just because you look at Tyreek Hill and his history and you go, well, no suspension, no fine, that seems like it's just really, really light. But it turns out that's what it was. The NFL came out with a statement and said, look, there's not enough to go on, and if something changes, then we can revisit it. The Chiefs have welcomed him back into the fold. And he'll be there come next Friday when the veterans report. But for the Chiefs, from a football standpoint, it's an enormous break for a team that obviously is Super Bowl aspiration.
Talking to Matt Verderam right here on ESPN Central Texas, NFL reporter for Fansided, host of Stacking the Box podcast. And we've been talking in the earlier segment about Zeke Elliott and the fact that he got six games suspended for something that we really don't know what he did. And then Tyreek, nothing here. Do you see the similarities there? And do you see the inconsistencies with Roger Goodell and question those as well?
Oh, it's ridiculously inconsistent. But the NFL's had a problem with this for a long time. You go back to the Ray Rice situation. Now, you're going back more than half a decade with that. And he got nothing more than a two-game slap on the wrist, even though there was a lot of evidence as to what was going on. Then the video leak of him punching out his then-fiancé, now-wife, Johnny Palmer, and all of a sudden he gets suspended indefinitely and never comes back to the league. That, I think, is the biggest issue that people inside the league and for fans outside the league have with the NFL, is it's so inconsistent. And certainly, yeah, if you're Jerry Jones, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, you're saying, wait a minute, he got nothing, and I got six games. What about Jimmy Smith, the Ravens corner last year, who got four games for threatening language towards his ex-girlfriend? Well, there's audio tape of Tyreek Hill being threatening toward his fiance, and he got nothing. So, yeah, there's a lot of inconsistency, and that's certainly something they're going to have to address here in the upcoming CBA.
Do you know what kind of conversations Kansas City had? I mean, were they ever close to letting Tyreek go, or was that ever brought up as a possibility that he might be gone when all this started?
Well, before all this started, they were getting pretty close, according to a handful of sources, on they were going to lock him up long-term with one of the bigger extensions in league history. I mean, you're looking at something around 5 years, $100 million. Then all this happened, and yeah, there were certainly internal conversations about, hey, can we hold on to Tyreek Hill throughout all this? The one thing that saved maybe Hill in Kansas City was he, by all accounts, was very transparent with the team. The team knew a lot of what the NFL was going to be hearing when they had their 8.5-hour investigation. And so I think the Chiefs felt confident and, okay, look, it's ugly. It's a bad situation. But we are at least abreast of what's going on, as we're with Kareem Hunt. You go back and read the statement. They did not cut Kareem Hunt because he kicked a woman.
Right.
They cut him because he lied to the team. And so, you know, you can argue the morals of all that, but there's a big difference there as far as the Chiefs are concerned. And so they wanted to let the process play out. They had the luxury of time during the offseason, and they took advantage of it.
Speaking of morals and the team, how they're involved in everything, I mean, when you go back to the history of the Chiefs, I mean, there's been some goons. I mean, just to be 100% honest about it, there's been some goons on the squad. Is there any chances, any point where the Chiefs say, you know what, we can't afford to take guys or take risks on guys like this?
You would think so. Look, they got killed willfully when they selected Hill. Mm-hmm. Back before anybody knew how terrific of a player he was going to be, they took a ton of him. And you have to remember now, when Tyreek Hill got selected, they were only a few years removed from the Javon Belcher tragedy.
Right.
So, you know, there's no question. The interesting thing with the Chiefs is they love to paint themselves as this wholesome, Midwestern, always going to do right by the community type of franchise. And that has not been the case. I mean, there are very few teams who have had the kind of run into the law that the Chiefs have had this decade. Now you could say, well, Javon Belcher, there was no warning signs that what happened. Kareem Hunt, same thing. But it still happened on the Chiefs' watch, and you still have to take inventory of, well, what are we missing here? Because all these things keep happening to us.
So that was Matt Verderam on Friday on Unnecessary Roughness on ESPN Central Texas. You heard myself and Steven Simcox, my co-host. We were talking to him about that Tyreek Hill situation and just how surprising it was. And I think you could even tell in his voice that he was shocked, he was stunned, and kind of realized that at some point the Chiefs are going to have to stop employing all these goons, because they really do, man. They have a goon squad, guy after guy, year after year. They have a bunch of goons on the squad. The one guy who's not a goon is Patrick Mahomes, really. I mean, really, there was a, I forget the exact quote, so I'm going to mess it all up, but there was a quote that was saying about, you know, he's the perfume, or he's the cologne that masks all the stink there in Kansas City. And I think that that's absolutely correct. So I just want to share that bit of audio on that Tyreek Hill situation, because I just could not believe it. I was beside myself when I found out he got zero game suspension. And I wasn't upset because he got zero game suspension as a Chief and that the Raiders had to play him twice. I could care less about that. That'll all work itself out in the wash. I just couldn't believe it, just because, one, the inconsistency of the NFL, the fact that they just cannot get out of their own way. One guy gets six games for something that we don't know, and then another guy gets no games for something that we don't know, but we know a young child got his arm broken, and we know guys get suspended four games for weed, and you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. There's so many inconsistencies. But the other thing is, what's most important, is that a young child did get his arm broken, and either Tyreek Hill did it, or his crazy baby mama slash girlfriend slash wife, whatever she is, she did it, or they did it together, whatever. But a young man was injured in their home, and that should never happen, and that's a shame. And so for him to get no game suspension, that bottom line right there is my biggest problem. So that was just what you heard right there from Matt Verderam. I'm sure we'll probably hear more about this subject as training camp rolls on. But next, you're going to hear about Green Bay Packers and their training camp. Rob Domoski from ESPN.com, he joined Unnecessary Roughness on ESPN Central Texas on Friday. You'll hear from myself, Steven Simcox, and Rob Domoski talking all things Packers coming up in segment number two right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Monday, July 22nd, 2019. Raider fans, we are on the eve of training camp opening up, at least for rookies. They report on the 23rd, which is tomorrow, and then the veterans will be in camp on the 26th with the first practice on the 27th. So, yes, it is here. We have made it! Congratulations. Very, very excited about that. But right now, let's go ahead and turn our attention on the NFC North, turn our attention on the Green Bay Packers, and to help me do that is my man Rob Domoski from ESPN.com. He was a guest on my show on ESPN Central Texas on Unnecessary Roughness on Friday, and again, talking all things Packers. Just wanted to get into training camp, wanted to get into the vibe with the new head coach and Matt LaFleur. And so here it is, myself, Steven Simcox, Rob Domoski, talking all things Packers. And it starts off with me just asking him what the vibe is, what the feeling is, how are the fans feeling, how are the players feeling, knowing that they're going into training camp with a brand new head coach. The first time in 13 years they're going in with a brand new head coach and Matt LaFleur. What is the vibe around the team?
Yeah, we'll find out what the real vibe is, Q, in about 6 days when they actually hit the practice field or for the first time. But it's been, there's definitely been an energy throughout the off-season program. Everybody's been gone since mid-June, and they're just, you know, people start trickling back into town.
this weekend, early next week. But there was definitely a curiosity, I would say, from the outside about what this is going to be like. And from the inside, I think it's a mix of apprehension and excitement. So it's the first time in 13 years that they've gone to training camp with a new head coach. So everything's going to be different, you know, from the way they practice to the offense they run. And, you know, everyone's kind of going to be going through it together for the first time.
I saw you had a story about Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur working on their relationship off the field. I mean, are they best friends, Rob? Are they going to have friendship bracelets at training camp or something?
Yeah, well, as Rodgers said, he found out that LaFleur's not a scotch drinker, and Rodgers loves to drink scotch. But in all seriousness, that's the most important, you know, relationship, really, in this organization. The head coach, who's the offensive play caller, and the quarterback have got to get on the same page. You know, and most people think that that's what sort of deteriorated late in Mike McCarthy's tenure. So it's critical that guys, that they sort of make a working relationship, and one that's a give and take, you know, in terms of willing to listen to the other, but also having a respect for the boundaries of the job. I mean, look, Rodgers, you know, he's still the employee and the coach is still the boss, so he's going to have to figure out how to operate within those parameters. On the flip side, the coach has got to figure out how to cater to a quarterback for a long time and might be, you know, might be difficult to change.
Yeah, you mentioned about give and take, and I know there was a report earlier this offseason about Matt LaFleur not necessarily wanting Aaron Rodgers to audible at the line of scrimmage, but then again, I mean, a guy's going to have a gold jacket at some point, so you kind of don't want to slow him down from doing what he does. How do they give and take? How do they get on that middle even so they're on the same page as far as that goes?
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about it. Interesting thing, that report really was kind of some regurgitated stuff from what LaFleur told us at the combine, and that his offense and the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offense doesn't really have audibles built into it. It has some checks, but not just free audibles like Rodgers had in the past. And quite frankly, you could argue that Rodgers either had too much freedom or took advantage of the freedom that he had. And you know, both LaFleur and Rodgers told me, I sat down with both of them right at the end of the offseason program, and they both said they're still going to have to figure out how to work through that. It's not, you know, there's no easy solution. LaFleur wants it done a certain way. Rodgers thinks that, you know, that he's good at adjusting at the line, and they're going to have to come to some common ground. I think that's why you could see Rodgers play maybe a little bit more in the preseason than he has in the past, which is basically almost nothing. Last year he played like 7 snaps in the entire preseason. So there's going to be a lot still to figure out in the month of August before they, you know, kick it off for real in Chicago on that opening night.
Has that Achilles injury affected LaFleur at all and just like getting prepared for the season? I mean, I know it's weird for coaches to have that question around them, but has that been a problem at all?
It's legit because he's shown that he was such a hands-on coach. I mean, this is a coach who, during the rookie minicamp, was playing quarterback and simulating drills and showing the quarterbacks and the receivers and the running backs how he wanted it done. So he definitely had to take a little bit more of a hands-off approach. But really, it was only the last probably handful of practices that it was an issue. And by the start of training camp, I mean, he's going to be able to be more mobile. He'll probably use the golf cart, but he'll be out of the walking boot and he'll be able to move around a little bit more. So I don't think it's going to be a factor. You know, it was like 4 or 5 practices that he couldn't be at their hands on. So I don't think it's a big deal. It's definitely an unusual situation, but I don't think it's going to be a limitation in any way.
Talking all things Packers right now with Rob Demoski from ESPN.com. You can find him on Twitter at Rob Demoski. And in this Matt LaFleur offense, how much more do you think that Aaron Jones can do, not only just running the ball, but also receiving the ball out of the backfield?
Well, if you look at LaFleur's history and the history of the offenses that he's been in, it combined with the offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, who came from Jacksonville where they used Leonard Fournette extensively, I think there's a good chance that Aaron Jones is going to get the opportunity to be a huge part of this offense. The question we have with Jones is, can he stay healthy? He's had 3 knee injuries in his 2 NFL seasons, both 2 of the 3 coming late in the year, where he hasn't been able to finish the season. He has, you know, the offense is absolutely tailor-made for him in terms of outside zone runs, motion out of the backfield, catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he should have an opportunity to have a big year if he can stay healthy. That is certainly, you know, we've talked for, what, 2 years now about him, and is he ever going to get the touches that fans want and that he thinks he should get? He's going to get that opportunity this year. It's just now on him to prove that he can handle that workload.
I know that Rashawn Gary pick was kind of intriguing, and he's sort of a lightning rod of a prospect. What have the early returns been on him so far?
Well, incredibly athletic, but you look at him and you wonder why he wasn't more productive in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a guy who 3 years ago was the number one high school player recruit in the country in that class. So definitely a ton of upside, but you know he's got some injury history, and he hasn't put up huge numbers. So you know, that's awfully high to pick a guy who's, you know, an injury risk and an underachiever. But the good news for him is he doesn't have to come in and dominate right away. They signed two free agents at the pass rush positions, Zadarius Smith and Preston Smith. So really he can kind of be a third down specialist to start. And you know, there's not a huge pressure on him right away, even though he's such a high pick.
I really like Darnell Savage. I really like him at the safety position. He was picked number 21 overall. Is he the immediate replacement for HaHa Clinton Dix, who's no longer there?
Yeah, he's the immediate and long-term replacement because I think people think that, you know, they got a steal there at 21 with him. He is, you know, I think he's one of the most talented guys, you know, in the draft in terms of just everything that he can do, the speed, the agility, the ball skills. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, there's already people talking. Matt Boehm, one of our ESPN film experts who played safety in the NFL for a number of years, pegged him for the Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I think Savage is he could, even though he was drafted lower, could end up having a much more immediate and bigger impact than Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Just got a couple more questions for you real quick. Jay Sternberger, he comes in from Texas A&M. Jimmy Graham's already there at the tight end position. I don't really know what the return's been on Jimmy Graham since he's been in Green Bay, but how do you see those two kind of coexisting in this offense together?
Yeah, I think Graham was a bit of a disappointment last year. I mean, only had a couple touchdowns and a year after being, you know, the top red zone touchdown guy in the league when he was finishing in Seattle. So it's definitely a bit of a disappointment from Graham. I'm honestly a little surprised they brought him back, Hugh, at the, you know, given the salary and all that he commands. Jace has been from you know, he's a talented athletic guy, but you know, he only really did it for 1 year down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a long way to go in terms of learning the playbook and figuring out what it takes to be an NFL tight end. Again, you know, a lot like Gary, he doesn't have to be the starter because Graham is, but you know, that's a difficult position in any offense, especially a West Coast quick passing offense. I don't know that I would expect him to put up huge numbers the first year.
And my final question for you, Rob, the NFC North, it's going to be a very tough division. The Vikings, they're going into year two with Kirk Cousins, and he only has a 3-year contract. And then you got the Bears who played lights out in 2018. They lost their defensive coordinator. Now he's a head coach in Denver. And then you have a new offense in Green Bay with a new head coach. And then you got the Lions, and I'm not just sure who they are. But how do you see this division shaking out? I mean, I know it's only July, but how do you see this division shaking out?
Well, you set it up pretty well in that you kind of summed up every team. You know, Cousins is going to have to play better. Mike Zimmer, I mean, I would say in Minnesota, Zimmer's got to be a little bit on the hot seat because I think they've underachieved. You know, in Chicago, let's see if they're for real. You know, they had a great regular season and kind of laid an egg in the playoffs. So, you know, they're obviously defensive-minded. I think, you know, they're probably the most talented defense in not just the division, but maybe the entire NFC. But, I mean, the Packers' defense should be much better given all the additions that they made in the second year under Mike Patton. So I think it's a division that's intriguing, could be a division where guys beat each other up. I don't know that there's another, you know, I don't know if it's a year that there's a 12-13 win team in this division, but I think it could be a tightly packed division at the top. And if you look at the Packers' schedule, those late season games they have against Minnesota and Detroit could really, you know, go a long way toward playing into who wins this thing and if there's a wild card team in this division.
That's great stuff right there. Rob Demoski always does a great job covering the Packers and the NFL in general, and you can find him on Twitter at Rob Demoski. Hey, Rob, appreciate you. Thank you for giving us your time like always, and have a good season. Have a good training camp. Have a lot of fun.
All right, we'll be seeing you guys.
So there it is right there. Some question marks up in Green Bay, but if you're going to have an opportunity to be successful in Green Bay, you got to have a quarterback, right? And so Aaron Rodgers is a stud. We all know that. He'll be a Hall of Famer the minute he's ready to be a Hall of Famer. So if that Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers relationship works out, then they might have a really, really good team. It's going to be interesting how it all shakes out. It's going to be very interesting to see how that marriage shakes out. So that was Rob Domofsky. You can find him on Twitter at Rob Domofsky. He's a really good dude. Covers the Packers like a glove. He's always my go-to whenever I have to talk anything Packers. He's always quick to respond as well, so I always appreciate his time. So that closes out the NFC North there, Raider Nation. What division do we go to next? What would you like to hear more about next? Knowledge is power. I know some people question, why do I do these and put them on the Raiders podcast? Because it should be all about the Raiders. Look, the more you know about the rest of the league and the rest of the fans and the rest of the teams in the league, the better for you. There's nothing worse than sitting next to a fan in a sports bar and talking some sports and they know nothing except for one team. You know, I love to be able to just scatter shoot and talk all teams, and I can do it. And I know that Raider Nation is a very smart fan base, and you can do it as well. So let me know. Let me know what division you'd like me to go to next. Who do you think we should cover? AFC West and NFC North, they've already been knocked out. But there's plenty of teams left in the league, so Raider Nation, let me know your preference. Coming up next, 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. We're going to hear from you. Your thoughts are coming up in segment number three of the Locked On Raiders Podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.
Here we are, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. We're going to hear from you, your thoughts, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Start things off with Raider Mike. He's calling in, and he's fired up about the Tyreek Hill situation and the fact that he received zero-game suspension. Here he is, Raider Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Q? Raider Mike. So, you know why I'm calling in, man. This Tyreek Hill BS. I can't believe that the NFL would not give this dude any type of suspension or anything. They want to push this Patriots versus Chiefs narrative so far that they can't even suspend this man. Nothing. Not 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. That's BS. Man, I can't understand this. This policy they have is so inconsistent. Zeke gets 6 games for having a disagreement with his girlfriend, but yet Tyreek Hill gets nothing for something that was on tape. They want to push this Patriots versus Chiefs narrative because the Chiefs are on the Patriots' tail so much that they can't suspend a child abuser. They're wrong, man. They're wrong. And I'm not just saying that because he's a chief. I'm saying that for anybody in the league. Anybody. Any team in the league. You abuse your child the way that he did, you're wrong. But yet, they sit there and let this man continue to play ball like this. No suspension, no nothing. That's all right, though. Week 2. I can't wait. I can't wait because we all know who we got on the squad at middle linebacker. Please, please lay this dude out. That's all I got to say for now, man. Raider Mike out. Bye.
Great call, my man, and I'm with you. 100% I'm with you, man. It's a tragedy that they didn't give him any games, and it's not, again, I said it in segment number one, it's not because I'm a Raider fan and the Chiefs play the Raiders twice a year and he's a hell of a player. It has nothing to do with that why I'm mad about the no-game suspension. I'm mad because it just ain't right. It's just real simple. It's just not right. It really isn't. You know, there's no consistency as far as suspensions and penalties come down, or behavior penalties come down in the league. You know, any kind of punishments, no consistencies. And then again, a young child got his arm broken and this guy gets no suspension whatsoever. But Tom Brady gets 4 games for deflating balls that we don't even know that really got deflated. I mean, that's a damn shame. Next call, Anna, section 107, row 26. She's calling in to talk about the Raiders bathroom that her and her husband Rob have at the house and how it became a topic of conversation on this podcast. It's always good to hear from Anna, section 107, row 26. Here she is.
Hi, Q. How's it going? This is Anna, section 107, row 26. I was just catching up on all the podcasts this week. I had a ton of stuff with work going on, so I didn't get a chance to catch up on them until late. And my husband was catching up on them as well, and I was listening to all the comments with the bathroom. You know, I know Al kind of started it with all of it because I was checking out his man cave too. His man cave is awesome. He's got a lot of cool stuff in there. And so I thought it was awesome. My husband loved hearing all the compliments on the bathroom because he put a good chunk of the sweat and the labor into that. And so he was really happy to hear all the compliments. It actually started when he was looking up ideas for it. We were talking about doing the man cave and couldn't agree on it because he's actually a San Francisco Giants fan. So he kind of wanted to do the Giants theme. So we were fighting back and forth on it. We were looking up ideas, and he ended up seeing this huge, like, 12-foot shower doors with Raider emblems etched on them. And he looked, he said, that would be awesome to do, and did some more research on it and ended up finding out that it was Al Davis's bathroom. And then from there, we just kind of ran with it, and it came out pretty awesome. We did it as a family, so it was a pretty cool family project. But just wanted to say thank you so much for the compliments. Next, we're going to work on the bedroom, and so that's all I wanted to call and say. Shout out to you, Raider, Al, and also Selena and the new girl that actually ended up calling in the podcast. Thanks a lot, Q. Bye.
Good stuff, Anna. And I'll tell you right now, man, you've made everyone want to have a bathroom like that or want to have a room like that, similar to what Raider Al has. He has a shrine. He has an absolute shrine of Raider stuff. And, man, oh, man, I'll tell you, someday in my life I might be able to get that too, but not anytime soon. But, hey, I could appreciate what you guys have going on, so that's really good stuff. Next call comes in from my man Freddie Fox. I would say he's a new booty, but I've talked about him a few times on the podcast because he's calling in to give a background on his barbecue sauce, and that's the stuff that I talked about on the show that actually was delivered to my house. He sent some to my house, and I've barely dibbled and dabbled in it. Haven't really had a chance to dive into it, and when I do, I'll give you a review on it. But here he is giving a background, Freddie Fox.
Yo, Q, what's going on, man? This is Freddie Fox, barbecue sauce, loving your mouth, man. I just want to say thank you for the shout out. Last week, I just got back in from Mexico a couple of days ago and then jumped right back into work and everything. So I haven't had a chance to give you a call and say thank you. I appreciate, you know, the shout out on the radio the other day. It was great, man, you know. So I just wanted to give a call real quick and give a little follow up. Yeah, Freddie Fox, loving your mouth, barbecue sauce for everybody in Raider Nation. I want to make you myself a part of your tailgate experience every Sunday, you know what I mean? You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, Freddie Fox, Q Sauce, hashtag love in your mouth, taste my love in your mouth. Yeah, man, that's really it. I'm kinda at work and got about to start banging out dinner, so I wanted to make this as quick as possible. But I just had to, you know, had to touch base with you and definitely give you a big thank you. You know what I mean? It was a very exciting and exhilarating feeling. You know what I mean? To hear that shout out coming across, you know, my speaker in the car the other day. So, you know, again, man, many thanks to you. Appreciate it. And Raider Nation, one love. We out.
Good call, my man. I appreciate you. And I ain't going to lie, man. Every time I hear you or anyone say, or I read on Twitter, taste my love in your mouth, I ain't going to lie, all I could think of is like a Lil Wayne lyric or some old school Jodeci, something that they would have sung, something like that. All I could think of is like a hip-hop lyric, and yeah, you know, hey, you know, taste my love in your mouth. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes me, it's catchy, I'll tell you that, and I'm sure that you thought of that as well when you came up with that, so that's funny. But Freddie Fox wasn't done. He had to call back to actually talk Raiders and explain how it all began and evolved as a member of Raider Nation. Here he is, Freddie Fox, the second time.
Hey, Q, I just had to give a quick call back. Completely forgot to actually talk about the podcast and my love of the Raiders. Yeah, this is Freddie Fox, a.k.a. Chef Raider 860. Man, I've been a Raider fan ever since 1983, ever since I saw, you know, Marcus Allen take it, what, 80 some odd yards to the house. My brother was rooting for the Redskins, and, you know, naturally, when your older brother's rooting for one team, you want to see that team lose, and that team just so happened to be the Raiders they were playing against, and it just kind of spiraled out from there. And then, you know, I got my own love for the team somewhere in the later 80s, early 90s, in the Bo Jackson era and whatnot, and then, you know, just kind of, you know, just kind of grew into this thing, you know what I mean? Now I'm trying to build it up for the next generation, you know. I've got my daughter her Raiders gear, and, you know, definitely trying to set that love off for her. And yeah, man, that's pretty much it for me. And as far as you know, my love and where the, you know, my love of the Raiders came from, definitely looking forward to Hard Knocks this year. Looking forward to the season. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because, you know, we all know in Raider Nation, you know what I mean, like we're always great in the off season, you know what I mean. And once things start rolling, with the exception of 2016, you know what I mean, it's you know, it starts to turn into a whole other ball game. So, you know, I want to take it one week at a time and see what we look like in week one against Denver, and then, you know, hopefully we'll find our way into a nice 11-5, 10-6 type season, you know what I mean, and shut some people up as we make the playoffs this year, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely don't think that John Gruden is the 15th best head coach in the league right now. That's a little absurd. I mean, even for his first year back, going 4-12, you know what I mean? If you look at you know, what we did and what we were able to do, and, you know, his play calling in the second half of the season last year, I mean, he definitely should be up a little bit higher. But that's neither here nor there. You know what I mean? We can let the, you know, the play speak for it, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like, he'll be up a little bit higher on the ranking, and we'll be up a little higher on the ranking. You know what I mean? And Raider Nation will be back in glory again. You know what I mean? Anyway, just wanted to again call and tell you how much I love what you're doing. Shout out to all Raider Nation.
Hard Knocks should be fun. I'm really looking forward to it, and I've said it before, I've never even watched that show, but I'm looking forward to it this season just because it's the Raiders, and, you know, I'm kind of hyped about it now. All the talk and all the conversation behind it and all the previews that I've been kind of following and reading, yeah, I'm pretty pumped up about it again. And as far as the head coaches go, man, I said it on Friday, if you go 4-12 and you get ranked 15th out of 32, I think that's fair. I know you don't like it, and you're not really, you think it should be a little bit higher, but John Gruden went 4-12. In his first year back as a head coach, and he was ranked 15th out of 32. I think that's more than fair. You go win a lot more games, you'll be raised up a lot higher than that. So I don't have any problem with the 15th ranking for John Gruden. Next call comes from my man T3 Raider Facts, calling in to give his five quick hits of the day. Here he is, T3.
Hey, Q, this is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits for the day. Number one, hashtag pay Rodney Hudson. Number two, props and nothing but love for King McClure. Hey, that was a great segment on the Friday show and a true inspiration. Reach for your dreams, Nation. I once had a dream that I would play in the NFL. A knee injury in high school forced me out of football, but got me into swimming to rehab, and I went on to win awards in NCAA Division III, so anything is possible. Number three, the gurus and the talking heads can rate the Raiders anywhere they want. I hope they all rate the Raiders as low as possible so that we can shock the world, and the words of John Vicenda with a rollicking song we can sweep along, swaggering boisterously. Number four, here's another idea for the show, because you know I am your idea guy. A special segment called Who is Q Smoking? I'm not going to let this thing with Craig go, and it's a real teaching moment to the up-and-comers out there. Every once in a while, people do something or say something that makes them deserving of getting smoked. So who is Q going to smoke next? And number five, Vader Raider, always remember, the Nation is here. We're at the top of the mountain, and everybody's looking up at us. We don't bring the fight, we simply end the discussion, as George Atkinson used to say. Looking forward to training camp next week. The new stadium in Vegas is looking good. It's all good when you're all dressed up in silver and black. Peace out, Raider Nation.
T3 Raider Facts, good stuff right there, my man. Good stuff. I love the five quick hits thoughts. They were all really good, but especially, who's Q smoking today? That is a must. That is a must that I have to work into the show. I'm not even going to work that. I'm going to work it into the podcast, but I'm going to work it into my radio show as well. I'm telling you, I like that. Who's Q smoking today? That's great. Man, that damn Craig, he was worth something after all. T3 Raider Facts, great call, my man. Two more calls for you today. Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest, calling in for a few different reasons, including the ladies that call into the show, a big rally and get-together he was a part of recently, plus the 11% chance that the Raiders have been given to make the playoffs. Here he is, Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, Q. Hey, Raider Nation. It's Raider Jim from the 206 in the Pacific Northwest. Q, last weekend we had our annual Northwest barbecue and had over 400 Raider fans in attendance from Vancouver, B.C., Anchorage, Alaska, the Tri-Cities, Boise, Spokane, Portland, and of course Seattle. It was just so awesome to see all those great silver and black fans out there. And, you know, everyone's hyped given the off season we all just experienced. So it was real fun. Q, shout out to Tatiana. Always great to hear from great silver and black ladies out there. And I trust we'll hear more from her and others such as Anna and Selena. And Q, we must also hear from Mama Q at some point. You are such a bright light, my friend, for all of us in the nation. So hearing from her would be special. Good call by NorCal Raider in the 530. He wasn't too pleased with our 11% chance to make the playoffs. Frankly, I am not surprised. And while I don't agree with it, I understand it. Many of the so-called pundits need to see what we offer on the gridiron. And for me, you know, I'm expecting an 8-8 season. I hope I'm wrong. But with all the change, strength of schedule, and all the transition with the team, to me, that's actually a reasonable forecast. However, I do think there is a great amount of credence to NorCal Raiders' additional point about a better pass rush. I think we can bring more pressure on the D-line and help force more turnovers, and therefore, you know, we can, you know, our DBs can be more disruptive on opposing offenses, and I think that's a really good point. Just for more stats to bolster that point, according to Pro Football Focus, in 2018, the AFC West offensive line is ranked near the bottom tier, with the exception of the Chiefs. And as we've already discussed here, they lost center Mitch Morse to free agency this year. The NFC Central, which we've been talking about coming up, because there are opponents this year, that's another story. The Packers and Bears are in the top third. The Lions are in the 16th, and the Vikings are near the bottom at 29th. So good insight on that score by NorCal Raider. And then Throwback Thursday is a great idea from T3 Raider Facts. Here's my wrinkle. We have a number of younger cats who listen to this show, so why not feature some of the significant ways the Raiders have influenced the game over the years? I mean, our history is so rich. Ghost of the Post, See a Hand, the Heidi Game, the Immaculate Deception, the Tuck Roll. You just take away the T and you replace it with an F, and you know how I feel. The Holy Roller. Better yet, why is there a Biletnikoff Award? Why did the NFL ban Stick'Em? Thank you, Lester Hayes. This is Raider Jim in the 206 from the Pacific Northwest. Raiders, all day, every day.
Good stuff, my man. Definitely a good call. I like that, especially that breakdown on the 11% chance that the Raiders have been given to make the playoffs. Now, again, I broke it down on Friday how I feel it could be a little bit higher depending on the situation. But either way, it's going to be a tough season. It's got a tough schedule. The Raiders have a tough schedule. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges in front of them. But if they get off to a hot start, then you never know. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Final call of the day comes from my man Peg Leg Raider in San Antonio. Got a couple subjects he wants to touch on. So it's a little bit longer of a call, but a lot of good stuff in here. Here he is, Peg Leg Raider in San Antonio.
Yo, what up, Q? This is Peg Leg Raider. Got a lot of ground to cover, so I'm going to try and make this as fast as possible, but it may go a little bit long. So I got a couple topics I wanted to hit up. First of all, awesome shows like normal. I'm glad your boy Smoke is on vacation, because I'm just right down the road in San Antonio, and we could ride on him if we needed to. So that was number one. Number two, I'm going to try and make the December 15th game, but if anybody is going to be at the UK game, my cousin lives in the UK, and he's a huge Bears fan, and it's going to be my little nephew's first opportunity to see a live NFL game. So the wife and I are going out there for that. That should be a lot of fun. So if anybody's going to that, let me know. Most known unknown, I forgot to give you a shout-out for the topic on Raiders Mystique. Thank you for that. And also, please let my boy Jazz know, brand new funk, that was my Get Hype song forever. So that'll show you how old I am. Y'all were talking about doing longer interviews. My man in West by God, Virginia, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for calling it West by God, Virginia. I have a drill sergeant 20 years ago that would make you do push-ups. He was from there. And if you didn't call it West by God, Virginia, you was getting dropped and beating your face. So I love hearing you guys say that. But and I think it was my man from Oklahoma, actually, that was talking about his story and how the Raiders got him through some drug addiction and a rough time with his family. Awesome story, man. Glad you're doing well. But like I was saying to you, with my injury and all, I think I have a pretty interesting story to tell as far as the Raiders, as far as adapting and overcoming. But what I really wanted to call in about was, since we have the nation and it's still the off season, I'm curious to hear what are people's, who people think is the worst fan base. And we're exposed to folks from all over the place. So Q, you cover in Dallas, I have to tell you, I hate Cowgirl fans. They are annoying. They are everywhere you go, and they do not know football. The only thing they care about is the Cowgirls. They can tell you, they can't even tell you who's on anybody else's team. They are sorry, man. And the other fan base that gets on my nerves is Denver. And not because I hate the Broncos like we all do, but I got a lot of family in Denver. My brother-in-law is a huge Raiders fan. He's always in Raiders gear. And I make it a point to wear nothing but silver and black when I get up there. And people don't talk trash to me. And y'all know, if we're wandering around, if we're in Cali or wherever, and you see some Broncos gear, that's a look and maybe a couple words, it may get a little bit loud. I'm walking through Denver in your city wearing your enemy's clothes, your enemy's colors, and nobody says anything to me. That's disrespectful. And I know all my Raiders brothers and sisters out there understand that. And then the third team that always gets on my nerves is the Pats, just because, one, it's a tough rule. Two, I despise bandwagon fans. So seeing just Patriots gear all over the place is annoying as hell. If you're from there, that's one thing. I have no problem with that. But just because they've been winning, or, oh, I like Tom Brady, get out of here. So I would love to hear that as a topic, especially with folks from everywhere, from the Bay to Florida, West by God, Virginia, Baja. Just what are your experiences? Who are the worst fan bases out there? That's what I got. One love for the nation, Raider Nation for life. Peg Leg Raider out.
You talking about fan bases? And I definitely think that the Patriots, they got to be the worst fan base, right? They got to be the absolute worst. I mean, they act like they ain't never experienced no kind of losing before. Like, they weren't losers before at one point. But, yeah, they're on a great run, so everyone jumps on that Patriot bandwagon. That's cool. I actually used to work with a guy named Jordan. He was a Laker fan, a Patriot fan. What was his baseball team? I think he was a Yankee fan. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This dude just jumped on every bandwagon, but he was definitely a bandwagon guy. He was a typical Patriot fan, so I think they're the worst. I've experienced some whatever from Texans fans, Charger fans. You know, they're non-existent, especially at home. Every fan or every team that comes into their stadium, they always are the home team pretty much. So there's a few fan bases out there that are really, really annoying, but ultimately, man, these cats are all just really, really passionate. Most people are just really, really passionate about their teams, and to the point where it gets to be annoying sometimes. But either way, man, that was good stuff. Great call. Great breakdown on a lot of different subjects. Definitely appreciate you. And I like how you said you started things off talking about, I'm in San Antonio. I can ride out on Craig if I have to. I love it. Craig has become somebody on this podcast. That's pretty stinking funny. So thank you so much for those calls. Thank you for all the support of the podcast. And go check out that Locked On NFL podcast. If you got some time, Locked On NFL, Travis Wingfield, he was the host of Locked On Dolphins, and myself, we came together like butt cheeks and did a show just on the NFL. We talked Tyreek Hill, we talked running backs, and we talked the new head coaches in the league. Definitely go check that out. All right, when we talk tomorrow, it'll be the 23rd, and that means rookies will report to Napa. They'll be there for training camp, and all this will get started. So we'll have a lot of good stuff to talk about. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.